how to receive the most blessed month ever, which is the month of Ramadan, obviously. It is indeed, it is the greatest month, the most blessed month. And unfortunately, we've been wasting opportunities after opportunities throughout our entire life. Now it's time to recognize what we have in our hands. Now it is time to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us so much, and He blessed us and He extended in our life to witness another Ramadan. So surely we have to make certain that this Ramadan is going to be our best Ramadan. And we notice that the greatest attraction in the month of Ramadan are two things. It's all about fasting and the Quran. Fasting and the Quran are two inseparable things from each other. In the hadith, which is narrated by Abdullah, the son of Amr ibn al-As, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, الصيام والقرآن يشفعان للعبد يوم القيامة. Both fasting and the Quran will have the power of interceding for the servant. Which servant? The servant who used to fast in response to Allah's call, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. In response to Allah's call, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. So he's responding by fasting and by reciting the Quran with reflection, with pondering its meaning, then acting upon its rules and its guidance. Such person will have the privilege of the shafa'ah, the intercession of both fasting and the Quran on the Day of Judgment. By the way, no one should ask how fasting, which is an action that we do, and the Quran, which is the word of God, which we recite, that would have the power, will be endowed to intercede and speak out. Well, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is very easy. He brings life out of the dead, and He brings the dead out of the life. So basically, there is nothing that's difficult or impossible for Him. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. If He wanted to do anything, He just says to it, be, and it will take place. Now, because the great attractions of this month is fasting and the Quran, and they shall intercede on the Day of Judgment for the servant who used to fast and who used to recite the Quran on a regular basis, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not seal up his statement without delivering the glad tidings. He said, فَيُشَفَّعَانَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give them the power of intercession, and meanwhile will accept their intercession where we need it the most. Why? Why the greatest attractions of this month is fasting and the Quran? This month was made a blessed month especially because of the Quran. Allah the Almighty said in the following verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. The month of fasting is a month on which the Quran was revealed. Guidance for mankind and proofs of the guidance and the criterion which distinguishes between what's right and what's wrong, the truth and falsehood. It is the Quran. So, Ramadan was made a blessed month because the Quran was revealed on one of its nights. Which night is it? Also, the Quran will answer this question. In a couple of places in the Quran, in Surah Al-Dukhan and in Surah Al-Qadr. In Surah Al-Qadr, for instance, Allah the Almighty says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Verily, we have centered down, the pronoun is referring to the Quran, on the night of the decree, the night of the power, the greatest night ever of the year, Laylatul Qadr. We as Muslims understand that the Quran was not sent down on one night. Rather, it took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 23 years. It is the era of the prophethood to collect the Quran. So, how can we bring harmony to the fact that the Quran was revealed over 23 years? And meanwhile, the Quran says that we have sent it down on the night of the power or the decree. It is very simple, that Allah the Almighty sent down the Quran from the preserved tablet to our worldly heaven, and it is preserved in as-sama' al-dunya, the worldly heaven. And over 23 years, the time of the prophethood, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was receiving revelations via Jibreel alayhi salam. Whenever Allah the Almighty says, give him this verse, or answer him with this answer, or find a solution for a problem, so it would descend from the worldly heaven. This is the meaning of Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubaraka, shatr ad-dukhan, and Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. This Quran was sent down for a great reason, to take people out of darkness into the light. There is only one light. There is only one guidance. It is the guidance of Allah, which is provided in the Quran. In the beginning of Surah Ibrahim, peace be upon him, Allah the Almighty says, Alif Lam Ra, Kitabun Anzalnahu Ilayka, لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. That is a book. It is a blessed book that we have sent it down upon you, unto you, in order to take people out of darkness into the light. ظُلُمَات came in plural because darkness is plural. There are so many ways that could mislead the person away from the truth. But the truth is only one way, and that's why Allah expressed about it in the singular format, saying, إِلَى النُّورِ, to the light, to the guidance, to the straight path, by the leave of the Lord, Al-Azizi, Al-Hamid, all worthy praise, the Almighty. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expelled Adam and Eve out of heaven due to committing the sin of eating from the tree, which they were prohibited from touching or going near it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them to earth. Then he said, قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. This verse is in Surah Al-Baqarah, which says, we said to both of them, Adam and Eve, اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. All of you go down to earth and wait. Once you receive guidance from me, this guidance is the wahy, the revelation, the Quran. Then those who would follow my guidance shall not suffer of any sadness or sorrow, nor shall they grieve. Why? Because they will be following the guidance, the ultimate truth, which is revealed in the Quran. In Surah Taha, Allah the Almighty says another verse that's similar to it, but provided another threat. He said, قَالَ اهْبِطَ مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. He said to both of them, Adam and Eve, both of you, go down to earth. بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٍ. You're going to be enemies to one another. This is what's happening amongst humanity. We're killing each other. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى. And once you receive guidance from me, فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. So people will be classified into two main categories based on how would you receive the guidance of God. Are you going to receive it and follow it, believe in it and act upon it? You would be saved. فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. As for him who would follow my guidance, shall neither go astray, nor shall he ever suffer of any distress. On the other hand, the other category, the dispraised ones. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. As for those who turn away from my dhikr, from my reminder, from my guidance, from the Quran, they chose willingly with the free will that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them with, they chose to turn away. Okay, it is your call. But the consequences are very severe. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Number one, his life will be miserable. Two, what about the hereafter? وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. On the day of judgment, he will be resurrected blind, God forbid. May Allah protect all of us. He will proclaim, رَبِّي لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. Why did you resurrect me as blind? I used to see in the worldly life. Allah the Almighty will answer him, thus our verses, our guidance have come to you and you turn away from them. You neglected them. And similarly, you will be neglected today. Why are we saying that? We're saying that because since the great attraction of the month of Ramadan is fasting and the Quran, and both of them are intimate companions, As-Siyam wal Quran, then successful people are originally successful planners. You can never achieve success haphazardly. You can never pass a test if you just go and take it. You have to plan for it. You have to prepare for it. A few days before Ramadan, while Ramadan is just around the corner, Ramadan is approaching and time is zipping by very fast, we have to have a private meeting with ourselves and decide and know exactly what do we need to do in Ramadan. I have witnessed so many Ramadans. I'm already 30 or 40 or 50 or 55, meaning so many Ramadans. Every single year there is one Ramadan. What did I do in it? If the Prophet ﷺ prayed against the one who would live to witness Ramadan and would not gain forgiveness through witness of Ramadan, say, may he be disgraced. He is a loser. One who witnesses Ramadan and does not get his sins forgiven because he didn't know how to get his sins forgiven, how to earn the pardon of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his mercy, how to enter paradise through the gate of Arayan. And that's why a few days before Ramadan, we decided to have this meeting, this program together in order to plan ahead of time. Do not wait until it is already the 10th or the 20th or the Laylatul Qadr and say, tonight I'm going to work hard. You never know if you will ever have this opportunity once again or not. Because of that, I would like to tell you some very good news with regards to the verses of Al-Quran. The most important thing we're going to prepare ourselves with prior to Ramadan, work on it so that whenever Ramadan begins, we're ready. We're ready to begin the race, the competition. Since Allah the Almighty commanded us in the Quran and recommended for us to compete, He said, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ Chapter Ali Imran. Be quick and haste, all of you together. Everybody is invited to this race to gain forgiveness and to enter heaven. This heaven is prepared only for the righteous ones. Abu Umama, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. Recite the Quran. Recite it on a regular basis. Recite it frequently. Recite it with tafakkur, with pondering its meanings. Since Al-Quran indeed shall appear on the Day of Judgment as an intercessor for its companions. Who are the companions of the Quran? This is a very important question. Every one of us, beginning by myself, we have to ask ourselves, am I sahib al-Quran? Am I a good friend with the Quran? For those who recite it from Ramadan to Ramadan, they are not friends with the Quran. For those who do not have a daily routine, daily homework, daily assignment to recite, whether in Ramadan or any other time, they are not friends with the Quran. So ashab al-Quran, those who have daily homework, daily routine, they begin their day with, they don't go to sleep before fulfilling and achieving this commitment. I have to recite today one para, then I have to recite one para. That means by the end of the month, I get to recite the entire Quran. So you have to have a commitment between yourself and Allah the Almighty in order to have the Quran intercede on your behalf on the Day of Judgment. And Nawas ibn Sam'an, may Allah be pleased with him, said, I have heard by my own ears the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as saying in one hadith, يُؤْتَى بِالْقُرْآنِ وَأَهْلِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Very interesting. So in the previous statement we said, the Qur'an will intercede for its companions. We knew who are the companions of the Qur'an. In this text, بِالْقُرْآنِ وَأَهْلِهِ. So Al-Qur'an has family members. The family members of the Quran are those who are obsessed with its love. Those who recite it frequently in the morning and in the evening, walking and reclining and lying down, Do you live with the Quran? يؤتى يوم القيامة بالقرآن وأهله الذين كانوا يعملون به في الدنيا. There is another condition here, which is they used to act upon it in the dunya. They wouldn't only recite it in the weddings, in the funeral, and in the beginning of celebrations and festivals. No. They used to recite it, understand it, and act upon it. تقدمه سورة البقرة وآل عمران. Very interesting. So the Quran and the people who recite the Quran will march down on the Day of Judgment towards heaven, obviously. Preceded by what? Preceded by the two great surahs, Al-Baqarah wa Ali Imran. And this hadith is collected by Imam Muslim, may Allah have mercy on him. Sometimes we envy people. Maybe because this person just moved to a bigger house, luxurious car, has a bigger property, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with blue eyes, with nice hair. All of that is insignificant, because soon all of that will vanish, except one thing, what your hand has earned. Because of that, in a highly sound hadith, Uthman ibn Affan, the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrated that, خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. I know that all of you want to know exactly the meaning of this very interesting text. We'll share it with you after this phone call, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Muhammad from Algeria. Assalamu alaikum. You're live on Al-Rahma TV. Are you there?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah wa shukla. I get to hear from you.
I love you. But please, I want to ask you four questions.
Four questions. If you can make it quick, please. And meanwhile, if you can raise the volume a little bit, I will appreciate it.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay. Just I want to ask you about milk in Tahara, in Al-Ghusl.
Okay.
Yes. Is it Fard or Sunnah?
Which part of Ghusl is Fard or Sunnah?
Milk, Tahara, Ghusl. I say Ghusl from Janaba or so.
Okay.
Yes, and also I want to ask you about the calling for prayer in Jumu'ah. I am from Algeria. In in Adrar, they make three adhan for Jumu'ah, for the prayer of Jumu'ah. They make three. They call for prayer three times.
They make two adhans. Is this what you mean? They call two adhans.
Three times. And first one finish, there is another one. He comes to pray to call for another time and another time.
Okay, I got it. We got the same thing here.
Yeah.
We got the same thing here, and it's everywhere.
To just finish that in Sunnah or no?
Okay.
Only one. Okay. Also about al-qabl.
Shortening the prayer.
Yes. I make qabl in Salah. But sometimes, if the imam makes study, if it is possible that can I make qabl as I am, or I should make qabl as imam do?
Okay. Thank you. Jazakallahu khairan. Barakallahu feek. Okay. I got several questions, Brother Muhammad. I don't know if I can answer all of them in this episode, because I really designated this episode to introduce to how can we really benefit from Ramadan the most, and how can you make this Ramadan your best Ramadan. Let's take Umm Khalid from Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Assalamu alaikum, Umm Khalid. How are you?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you for Al-Rahma channel and Dr. Muhammad Salah.
I second you in thanking Al-Rahma channel and its people. Jazakumullah khairan.
I am happy. I am happy on your program.
Alhamdulillah, thank you.
I am happy, very good. Because everybody knows for Islam for many language. Thank you for you.
Barakallah fiqh. Umm Khalid, do you have a question?
No. So thank you, doctor. But I am happy, really, when I saw your program. I am very happy on this channel. This channel now for everybody, not Muslims, for Europe countries, for every countries.
Alhamdulillah.
Now I am happy on Islam. I am not worried about Islam, because many languages for showing to Islam. Thank you. Thank you,
Mukhali. Jazakumullah khairan. And this is what Allah said. We have not sent you but as mercy for mankind and for everything that exists. By the way, the word al-alamin does not necessarily just mean humans and jinn. Rather, it means every living creature. His mercy is extended to animals, to fruits and vegetations, to plants, the dead palm trees. So inshallah, we'll have plenty of time in the future to elaborate on that. Now, we're talking about the interesting hadith of Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah be pleased with him, when he narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best amongst you is the one who learns the Qur'an and teaches it to others." It's so strange that nowadays in most of the Muslim societies, the picture is upside down. The people look at those who study the Qur'an and teach it to others as low-class people, poor, they live on sweet, we just give them the leftover. No, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the dearest and the nearest and the most beloved and the best amongst you are those who learn the Qur'an, the word of Allah, and teach it to others. What an honor, what a pride for those who teach the Qur'an. And look at the sequence. First you have to learn in order to be able to teach. So this is your opportunity, the month of Ramadan. I just shared with you a few very interesting verses, but I am so worried. Yes, I am happy. I'm delighted. And all of us share this delight that we receive a Ramadan in a few days, inshallah. And we have the Qur'an in our hands, in our glove compartment, and everywhere. But I'm extremely worried. The reason behind my worries is a verse of Surah Al-Furqan. It is verse number 30. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on the Day of Judgment, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will make a complaint, will complain to Allah about some of his followers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will say on the Day of Judgment, as Allah recorded in verse number 30 of Surah Al-Furqan, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. The messenger on the Day of Judgment will complain to Allah and say, "My Lord, my people, or some of my people, have deserted the Qur'an, have abandoned the Qur'an with all the virtues which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the Qur'an and its recitation, that people still showed no interest. They neither recited it, nor understood it, nor act upon it." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will condemn them on the Day of Judgment and will make a complaint to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about them. Some people think desertion of the Qur'an is simply for not just reading the Qur'an. No. Ibn al-Qayyim and others have brought about 5 types of the hajj, or the desertion of the Qur'an. They began by number 1, and I want every one of you, if you're really serious about reconciling your relationship with the Qur'an, planning to have this Ramadan to be your best Ramadan, write down. Write down these 5 types of desertion and see if you're lacking behind. If any of you isn't you, then you have to treat yourself immediately. Make a covenant with Allah the Almighty that you will be treated and you'll work hard to fix yourself beginning with today, inshallah. The first type of desertion is hajr al-tilawah, that they do not recite the Qur'an as it should be. What do you mean as it should be? They did not recite it on a daily basis. As I said, some people, months would pass by and would not open a mushaf. Yes, they have it in their glove compartment. They think it is okay. It secures them. They're safe as long as they have it in the mirror, in the glove compartment, or beneath the pillow, and that's it. No. The Prophet ﷺ said in a serious hadith, the hadith is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, "اقرأوا القرآن فإن القلب الذي ليس فيه شيء من القرآن كالبيت الخرب." Imagine that the Prophet ﷺ equated one's heart who does not recite the Qur'an to a deserted house which is haunted by ghosts, wild animals, snakes and scorpions. Who would like to enter such house? The heart of the person who does not recite the Qur'an, does not retain any of the verses of the Qur'an, is like a deserted house. Very scary. It's a scary house. It's a horror house. Because he doesn't have this mercy, this light of the Qur'an. And furthermore, he said, recite the Quran. And why shouldn't you recite it? For each letter you recite of the Quran, you receive one hasana. وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا الْحَسَنَةُ means a good deed. الْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا And each good deed that you earn for reciting one letter of the Quran will be given tenfold, 10 times more of the reward. That is the minimum. So, the Prophet ﷺ explained furthermore and said, I do not say, Alif, Lam, Mim, is just one letter. No, nay. Alif, in Alif, Lam, Mim, the Alif is a letter. And Lam is the second letter. And Mim is the third one. So for saying Alif, Lam, Mim, you just earn 30 good deeds. That is the minimum, multiplied according to Allah's wish. So if you happen to say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, it's a verse of Surah Al-Fatiha. That's 19 letters, 190 good deeds you just earn. So how much will you earn of hasanat if you recite Surah Al-Fatiha or Surah Al-Baqarah or one juz a day? Imagine the magnitude of the reward which you will collect simply by reciting the Quran awfully. For each letter, you receive one good deed. I understand that we're running out of time, but still, I really have to drop this hadith and share it with you. Uqba ibn Amir, may Allah be pleased with him, said once the Prophet ﷺ came out upon us. They were sitting among the people of As-Suffa. What's As-Suffa? As-Suffa is a designated section of the prophetic masjid at his time for the poor companions who did not have homes, did not have means of livelihood. So the Prophet ﷺ hosted them in the masjid. They were over 100. So Nabi ﷺ now is addressing extremely poor people, homeless. Their home is the masjid. They live on charity. And said, hey, which one of you would like to go every morning to Buthan or Al-Aqiq? By the way, the word Buthan may be pronounced as Buthan or Bathan. Both ways are okay. Buthan or Al-Aqiq are two places. Al-Aqiq is 3 miles outside the Medina city limit. And Buthan is a very spacious valley. Both of them were like a flea market or a wholesale market for livestock, especially camels. So when the Prophet ﷺ brought up these two names, everybody thought about buying some livestock, especially camels. It was a great wealth back then. He said, which one of you would like to go? Not just once, every morning to Buthan or to Al-Aqiq and get two precious camels. Naqatayni, kawmawayni, zahrawayni. Kawmawayni means that their hump is very strong and very high, very great, indicating that this is really a good camel. Zahrawayni, they're fat, very heavyweight. So they must be very expensive. So who would like to go every morning to just pick up two precious camels from Buthan or Al-Aqiq? في غير إثم أو قطيعة رحم. How would we earn such camels, O Messenger of Allah, while we're very poor? He said, lawfully, without stealing, without committing any sin or severing your ties of kinship. How is it possible? If I say to any of you, hey, would you like to earn a Mercedes? S600? What about Lamborghini? What about? Everybody will be the anxious and says, me, I would like to. Especially when I say, it is not lotto though. It's not a lottery. It's not gambling. It is 100% lawful. You want to get two? You want to get three? They said, certainly, O Messenger of Allah. Said, لَأَنْ يَغْدُوَ أَحَدُكُمْ. If each and every one of you, if one of you goes every morning to the masjid, not to Buthan, not to Al-Aqir, not to the car lot, not to the car dealer, to the masjid and learn two verses of the Quran, recites and learns two verses of the Quran. These two verses are better than the two Mercedes, are better than the Naqatayni, Al-Kawmawayni, Al-Zahrawayni. And three verses are better than three. And similar number is better than a similar number of the camels, the Mercedes, or you name it. So for learning the Quran on a daily basis, That is the best thing you can do. If you've not been doing that throughout the past months and since last Ramadan, I guess it is your chance right now to start learning the Quran, reciting the Quran. Every morning, pray Fajr in Jama'ah. Make sure you attend the prayer in Jama'ah in the masjid. If you're a male, take your children with you. And if you have a chance to sit until sunrise, recite one para. That's 40, 45 minutes at max. Then you pray two rak'ahs. These two rak'ahs are highly recommended, which is known as the forenoon or al-duha. Let's count and calculate how much reward will you earn. Number one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you sit in the masjid and you make dhikr, recite the Quran until after Salatul Fajr, until sunrise, then you pray these two rak'ahs or rak'atay al-duha, it will be the reward of such act will be equivalent to performing Umrah and Hajj. Tammatayni, tammatayni. Two perfect reward of Umrah and Hajj. You can do that every morning in Ramadan, and once you start practicing that, you can continue after Ramadan, inshaAllah. I would like to continue with the verses of the recitation of the Quran. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, so I'd like to give a quick answer to the few questions of Brother Muhammad from Algeria. And hopefully, inshallah, next Wednesday, we'll resume with the different types of desertion and try to eliminate that out of ourselves and be better believers and better Muslims by Allah's leave. First of all, he was inquiring about the sunnah in the ghusl. It is simply for ordinary people, if you'd like to perform ghusl in order to lift and remove the major impurity, it's as simple as that. Number one, wash your hands. Then wash your privates, whether male or female. Then perform wudu as your regular wudu. Then pour the water all over your body from head to toe. The right side first, then the left side. And the third time, you wash the entire body. If you have a long hair, you make sure that you go through it with your fingers. And between the fingers and the toes, you make sure that the water reaches everywhere in the roots of the hair. If a woman is wearing braids, she doesn't have to undo them. This is a simple wudu without going ghusl. And without going into details. Same thing whether it's ghusl for Jumu'ah or ghusl for the Eidain or to remove the major impurity. Muhammad also was asking about calling two adhans prior to Friday prayer and whether it's bid'ah or not. It is something that has been prescribed by a great caliph. It is Uthman ibn Affan. And he had prescribed that, not invented that, rather prescribed it, because he had the power of prescribing that since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith of Arbad ibn Sariya, so stick to my traditions and the traditions of the rightly guided caliphs after me. So that he appointed a muadhin or a caller in the market a while before the actual time in order to alert those who are dealing in the market to attend the prayer. And the other one was the actual one. So the latter was the actual one. So people are still following that. So I would not consider this an act of innovation. And if we don't do it, it is better though, since we don't need it. Shortening the prayer in the last 2 minutes, a person may shorten the prayer and also combine between two prayers, Dhuhr and Asr, Maghrib and Isha, at the time of either one of them, the earlier or the later. If you're traveling a travel distance that exceeds 80 kilometers or 64 miles, and you are allowed to combine the prayer, as I mentioned earlier, if you are staying, you're allowed to shorten and combine if you're staying for 4 days or less. If you decide to stay more than 4 days in that place, then you should start praying as regular. We ask Allah the Almighty to make the Quran the light of our heart, the removal of our sorrow and grief, and to make us light for every human being.